Starting today, I'd like to give a series of talks on the Mangala Sutta. The Mangala Sutta is a very important discourse given by the Lord Buddha on the blessings which we can find in the world, the true blessings which exist in the world, those things which are truly in an ultimate sense, in a very real sense, really are blessings. The word Mangala is a word which we translate normally as blessing, but it also means things which are auspicious. In the time of the Lord Buddha, the word Mangala was used for things which were said to bring luck, were said to bring happiness, were said to bring good results in the future. For instance, people would believe that if you heard a certain bird in the morning, this bird crow or making its noise in the singing in the morning, this was good luck. And if you heard another bird crowing, this was bad luck. If you see something, you see this or see that, it was good luck. Some people had the superstition if you saw an ascetic in the morning, or if you saw an ascetic in the evening and so on, it had different meanings. Nowadays we hear about people who believe in things like black cats and horseshoes and rabbit's feet and all the many superstitions which we've heard about. And these are rightly called superstitions in modern time. These are things which don't have any bearing on reality. There's no reason to think that just because a black cat crosses your path or you carry around the foot of a dead rabbit, the shoe of a horse, that for some reason it should bring good luck to you or bad luck to you. The Lord Buddha said these are not real blessings. So a question arose in the time of the Lord Buddha among the angels, asking among themselves what were the real things which brought good luck? What things really were blessings or were auspicious, were a cause for goodness? Were things which led to goodness, to happiness, to peace? And they were asking among themselves, and finally it came to the king of the angels. The king of the angels, of course, was a follower of the Lord Buddha. And when he heard all the angels asking amongst themselves, went to ask the king of the gods, what are the real blessings in the world? Is having a horseshoe really good luck? Or a rabbit's foot, is it really good luck? or so on, whatever the things which they thought might be blessings, might be good things at the time. And the king of the angels said, I can't answer this question for you. There's only one person in the universe. In the universe which, with its angels and its gods and its men and beasts. There's only one being which can, who can answer these questions, this question. You have to go see the Lord Buddha. Right now he's staying in Jetavan. You go to see him. And this is how the Mangala Sutta starts. Eva me sutang ekang samayang pakava viharati Jetavane anatapindikasa arame. Thus have I heard. This is said by Ananda. Ananda was the chief, was the secretary of the Lord Buddha, the caretaker, the attendant, the Lord Buddha's personal attendant. So Ananda said, thus have I heard, once the Lord Buddha was staying in Sawati, in the park of Jeta, the forest park of Jeta, which was bought by Anathapindika, a great rich man who was a supporter of the Lord Buddha. Atako anyatra devata. At that time, a certain angel, this is the angel who was asking the question, was responsible for finding the answer from the Lord Buddha. He came down to Jetavana, lit up with his brightness, lit up the whole of the park. Paid respect to the Lord Buddha. Having paid respect to the Lord Buddha, sat down to one side. Sat down respectfully and asked the Lord Buddha the question. Bahu deva manusa cha mangkalani achintayung angkankamana sota nang bruhi mangkalamutamang. O Lord Buddha, the angels and men of all times have wondered about the blessings that exist in the world. Please, for the benefit of men and for the benefit of the angels, for the benefit of all beings, please tell us what are the real blessings in the world. And the Lord Buddha, without any hesitation, without any pause to think, to consider, without having to study or come up with a list of things, immediately responded with the 38 true blessings which exist in the world. Starting with Asevana Chapala Nang Pandita Nancha Sevana Pucha Chapuchani Anang Eta Mangkalamutamang. And so on. All through 38 blessings. So the first part today is Asevana Chapala Nang Pandita Nancha Sevana Pucha Chapuchani Anang Eta Mangkalamutamang. Meaning sevana chapala nang, non-association with foolish people. Pandita nancha sevana, association with wise. Pucha cha pucha niyanang, paying respect to those who are worthy of respect. Eta mangalamutamang, this is a blessing in the highest sense. So today the first three. Asevana chapala nang, not to associate or be around or be friends or even associates with foolish people. This is the first real, very real blessing which exists in the world. N not to associate with foolish people is a very real blessing. They say there's no happiness which can come from being friends or associates with foolish people. But it only leads to sorrow and suffering. First of all, foolish people have... I wonder, what does it mean to be a foolish person or to have friends who are foolish people? There are four characteristics of a foolish person. A person who is not worthy to be a friend. A person who is not a real friend. Not someone we should keep as our friend. And they are a friend. They are friends with us only because of what they can get from us. Two, they only have good things to say, but they, when asked to follow through with their words, they can't follow through with their words. Means they can't keep what they say they're going to do. They say they're going to do many good things for us, but in the end they don't do it. Number three, they only flatter. They say good things to our face, but behind our back they will go ahead and say bad things. Say bad things about us. And number four, they lead the friend into evil ways. These are the four characteristics of a fool. A foolish person who associates with friends only for what they can gain themselves is a fool, is someone not worth taking as a friend. They give a little bit and they expect a lot. They associate with the friend thinking, what can I get from being friends with this person? The person who is good only by speech but not by deed. They say things, they talk about things they've done for you in the past. They talk about things they're going to do for you in the future, but in the present they never really do anything for you at all. You can't believe them, what they say. They say they're going to do this, they say they're going to do that. In the end they never really do it. The person who is a flatterer, who flatters. A flatterer is very dangerous. You might think someone who speaks well of you all the time is a good thing. It's very dangerous. First of all, it can lead us to feel conceited about ourselves. But the worst thing is, for a flatterer, when you do evil deeds, they praise you. They say, yes, good, keep going. When you do good deeds, of course, they praise you, but when you do bad deeds, they don't stop you. They go ahead and do it with you, they go ahead and say good about it. Speak good about your bad deeds as well. And the person who, the fourth kind, is a person who leads you in the bad direction. So before you even think to do bad deeds, this is a person who leads you to drink alcohol, who leads you to go partying at night, who leads you to gamble, who leads you to waste your money, to waste your time, to waste your energy. Who can lead you into danger and lead you into despair. It's a person who would never think to bring you to come to practice meditation. These are people who can really create problems for us in our life. So the first thing the Lord Buddha said is to be truly blessed. If you want to know what is really going to bring goodness in the future, the first thing is to avoid all foolish people. People who don't wish good for you, who don't want you to be happy. People who don't care, don't really care that you find peace and happiness. They only want to gain for themselves, or maybe they don't even want gain for themselves. They don't know what is gain and what is loss, and they lead you in bad direction. They lead you to suffering. So the first blessing is the staying away from foolish people. The second blessing is the exact opposite. It's association with wise people, to take wise people as one's friend. Wise and good friends also have four characteristics. One is someone who is a support for you. Two is a person who is a friend in good times and a friend in bad times. Three is a friend who can teach you, who can lead you in the right direction. And four is a friend who truly, truly loves you, who has true love and friendship and respect for you. The friend who is a support, this is a blessing because they can guard you in the times when you are negligent. They can guard your possessions. When there's danger, they can be a refuge for you. When you have problems, when you have difficulties, they will always support you and even give more support than you might expect, more support than might be expected of them. A person who is a real support is someone who, you, when times of danger come, that's the person who helps you, who stays with you, who does whatever they can to keep you free from suffering. A friend who is a friend in suffering and a friend in happiness. This is someone who doesn't abandon you in times of danger. Whatever problems you have, they will support you they will never run away from you and never abandon you in times of difficulty. The friend who the friend who can lead you in the right direction. This is the most important friend. Of all the four types of good friend, of real friend, the friend who can lead you and lead a friend in the right direction. This is called the Kalyanamita. Kalyanamita. A beautiful friend, or a true friend, or a good friend. Why? Because all of the bad things which you might do, or all of the suffering which you might fall into, comes from the things which stay in our hearts, which lead us to do bad things, to say bad things. It comes from the anger and the greed and the delusion which exists in our heart. Until we find someone who can point these things out and point out the suffering and the cause of suffering and lead us out of suffering, lead us to freedom from suffering. Unless we have someone who can lead us out of suffering, we have no way to... We have no real hope for our... In the holy life, in the spiritual life. We have no safety or security from pain and suffering and loss. Without a friend to teach us, to show us the way, to show us the way out of suffering, it's not likely that we by ourselves are going to really find the true way out of suffering. Before we come to practice meditation, if we didn't have a meditation, people to guide us in meditation or to show us how to practice meditation, it's not likely that we would be able to find for ourselves the way to vipassana meditation, to make our minds pure. We may not have even thought that there was a way out. We might not have thought it was necessary to find such a friend. Most of our friends are good as far as bringing pleasure and happiness in the world, in a worldly sense. But normally most of our friends are not very good at bringing happiness inside, bringing peace inside, because they also don't know the way out of suffering. So this is a most important friend. In Buddhism, it's the most important thing in living the spiritual life, is to have a good friend. A good friend who can lead you in the right direction. They can lead you to heaven, they can lead you to Nibbana. They tell you what is of use, they stop you from doing things which are useless, which are harmful, and so on. And the fourth kind of friend is someone who truly loves and cares for you. The person who truly loves you, when you're in suffering, they also feel the suffering. When you are happy, they are very happy as well. They will never talk badly about you. When people say bad things about you, they stop them. When people say good things about you, they... To be a real friend who has real love for their friends, it's a person who only agrees when people say good things about the friend. When people say bad things, they will stop them right away. These are the characteristics, in brief, of a good... These are the brief characteristics of a good friend. Someone who is worth associating with. Someone who knows good from bad. Someone who is... When associating with that person, this would be a real blessing. When we associate with good people like this, it's a real blessing for our lives. And the third blessing is Pūjā ca Pūjānīyānaṁ, paying homage to those who are worthy of homage. Homage is something which is also very important in the culture that the Lord Buddha grew up in and taught, practiced in and taught in. In the time of the Lord Buddha, they would practice homage, or puja, they call puja. But they would pay homage to things like trees or rivers or the sky or the earth, fire. They paid respect to many, many different things. Pay respect to gods, pay respect to angels, pay respect to many different things. And there was one man in the time of the Buddha who paid respect to the six directions. His father, when his father was dying, he said to his son, "You must pay respect, pay homage to the six directions. Every morning you must pay homage to the six directions." So every morning, when after his father died, his son would go down to the river and bathe in the river, in the holy river, and go around prostrating to the eight directions, the six directions. The six directions are north, south, east, west, up and down. And the Buddha one day saw this man prostrating to the six directions, and acting like a acting something like a crazy person. And said to him, asked him, "What is it you're doing?" And there's the young man explained that his father, before his father passed away, had instructed him to pay respect to the six directions. And the Buddha responded to him and said, "This is not the true way to pay respect to the six directions, to pay homage to the six directions. These are not the six directions to which it is necessary to pay homage." And he proceeded to explain to the young man what were the six directions that his father surely meant. The six directions: the north is one's parents, the east is one's teachers, the south is one's spouse and one's children, the west is one's friends, up is the religious people, the samanas and the brahmanas, the priests and the recluses, the ascetics and so on. And down is one's servants or workers, one's employees. And the Lord Buddha said, these are the six directions which one has to pay homage to. Means one has to attend to, one has to pay respect to. One has to respect these six directions. One's parents, one has to pay homage. These are one's parents. Parents are most worthy of paying homage to. Our parents gave birth to us. Before giving birth, our mother carried us around for 9 months, 10 months in the womb, free of charge, like a hotel. And then cared for us for many years, brought us up, kept us free from suffering. So we, in return, we take care of them when, as best we can. We carry on their lineage and so on. Our teachers also are worthy of respect, worthy of homage, because of what they've taught us, even in public school and high school, whatever they've given to us, they've given us something, wishing goodness for us. When we learn from teachers, we should always be respectful. It's a very difficult thing to teach. Our spouse and our children, these are people who make our house possible when we live in the world, so we have a family or so on. When we live in the monastery, we just think of we think of the whole group, the whole monastery as our big family. So where the Lord Buddha was giving an instruction to a lay person, we can also take it as in a monastic setting, that we are all brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. We become a very large family. And we have respect for each other, for the good things that we bring to each other. What the Lord Buddha said is important to respect one's family. One's children, one should teach them a way out of evil and teach them to do good things and so on. And one's friends is important to respect. As I said, it's a great blessing to have good friends. A person who has no friends can be said to be truly poor. Truly destitute, a person who has no friends or who has no good friend, can be said to be a true person who is truly bereft of wealth, truly has no wealth. We pay respect to our friends, we're supporting them with pleasant speech towards our friends. Doing things which are of service to them, and being generous with them, and so on. And religious people are worthy of respect. People like the Lord Buddha, people like the monks and the nuns, and people who have taken on religious vows to become completely free from suffering. Because they are the people who can teach us the way out of suffering in turn. Once they have found the way out of suffering, then they can in turn teach us the way out of suffering. So we pay respect with speech, with actions, even with thoughts of goodwill, with thoughts of loving kindness towards them. And even our employees, even the people below us, are the people who serve us or who work for us. Maybe our students, or maybe the people who are under our care. We have to respect them as well, giving them work and so on according to their abilities. This, the Lord Buddha said, is how we pay respect to the six directions, how we pay homage to the six directions. Puja ja puja niyanam. It's a great blessing to pay respect. The greatest blessing is to pay respect to the triple gem, to the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. We pay homage to the Buddha. How do we pay homage to the Buddha? The Lord Buddha said we pay homage. The way to pay homage is to practice the teachings of the Lord Buddha. If you want to pay homage to someone, if you want to show your respect for that person, The best way to do so is to follow their teachings and practice according to their teachings. When the Lord Buddha was passing away, he said to Ananda, he said, Yoko Ananda Pikuva Pikuniva Upasakova Upasikava Tamanum Tamma Pati Patiya Anutamachari Sotathagatang Sakaroti Kru Karoti Manye Tucheti Paramaya Pujaya. In the time when the Lord Buddha was passing away, all the angels and all the men and women and beings of the world, they brought flowers and candles and incense to pay respect to the Lord Buddha before he passed away. And the Lord Buddha said, this is not the way one should really pay respect to a fully enlightened Buddha. This is not the best way to pay respect. The highest way to pay respect is whatever monk or nun or layman or laywoman practices the teaching of the Lord Buddha, practices according to the, in line with the teaching, practices perfectly, practices correctly. This person, whoever they may be, someone who pays homage to the Lord Buddha, pays respect to the Lord Buddha, pays worship to the Lord Buddha with the highest sort of homage, the highest sort of respect, the highest sort of worship. So we practice according to the four foundations of mindfulness. This is the greatest blessing of paying homage to the teachings which will lead us out of suffering. Paying homage to the teacher who teaches us the way out of suffering. This is the way to pay homage to the Lord Buddha. This is said to be a blessing in the highest sense. A blessing because it leads us out of suffering. When we practice the teachings which are worthy of practice, we pay homage to the teachings which are worthy of paying homage to. And so this is the start of the Mangala Sutta. We'll leave it there today, and now we continue to practice. So we do mindful prostration and then walking and then sitting.